Good afternoon, Shadow Hills. We are back with another interview with Brian Montgomery, the city manager of the city of Indio. There's so much going on around here that he has agreed to a quarterly update on all the things that are happening that would be of interest to you. And so I'll bring him on now. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Bob.
So before we get into Indio, we have a current events issue that everybody should know about. So who is Abby Carter, and why should everyone here care about her?
Well, she's just a wonderful product of Indio. She's a young woman that grew up here. Her family lives here in Indio, and she is becoming a star. She has such a beautiful voice and such great talent, has been playing at various venues, singing and playing the piano. She plays instruments as well, I understand, and made it to American Idol and won the platinum ticket, as many have seen online. And we have a concert planned. As we're calling it a send-off concert, but it's to help support her and let the community rally behind her as she moves forward in the American Idol contest. And so this coming Saturday, March 23rd at 6 p.m., there's a free concert here in the downtown. The streets are Bliss and Town. There's a large piece of grass there where we hold our Food Truck Fridays and our farmers market. And on that grass, we'll set up a stage and hopefully have hundreds, if not thousands, of people to come and listen to her sing. She will be performing a single that she wrote herself, and she'll later have that for sale for others. Before the concert at 5 o'clock, for those that may want to be kind of get to know her a little bit better and take a photo with her and so forth, she is raising some funds to help in her journey. And so at the location is on the corner of Town and Miles. Avenida Music is the band that has a great facility there to receive those that may want to come around 5 o'clock, a little bit before the concert, get to know her. That's a VIP-type reception. But the rest of the concert's free, 6 o'clock in the downtown, to support Abby, who, again, most everyone, I hope, has seen, if not, go online and YouTube her name, and you'll hear her beautiful voice. And we look forward to what she'll sing on TV here in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we're going to include that when we drop this episode. And, yeah, it's very special that we've got a local young lady who is going to be a star. And
right.
It's pretty exciting to be at there at the beginning of it. Well, so moving on, let's start with the closest and most interesting part for our residents, and that is the new Pulte Desert Retreat. The last time we spoke, there was an issue with power. What's the status now?
We believe that has been resolved, in that the City of Indio, as well as IED partnering with Pulte, will provide a substation in the area. It's near Avenue 40 there, approximately at Burr Street. That substation is planned to have two large transformers. And why that's of interest, not just for the development of the Pulte, but for everyone in the area, this will create some significant redundancy and resiliency to the system. And these substations take quite a while, only because the transformers, a key component of these substations, are about a 2 to 2.5 year supply chain delay. So I say it's been resolved in that we've ordered those transformers, substations being designed and planned, but it would be a couple of years before it would be installed. But it's a benefit to everyone. We're actually working on three other locations of substations that will help relieve some of the strained system throughout the City of Indio. So it's a partnership with IED, City of Indio, as well as other developers who are going to pay their fair share, and then the rest of the community gets to benefit from this resiliency and redundancy in these substations that will be scattered throughout the city.
I see. And can Pulte start construction before this power station is built?
Yes, my understanding, well, certainly they can begin the land work and utility work as things work through on the substation part. But I also understand that IED's indicated that a handful of homes, there is enough power available for something like 50 or 60 homes. So they may, I'm not sure for exactly sure if when they're going to start, but they may start some model homes and so forth even before the substation is installed, because they are allowed, there is some capacity for a handful of homes. But the grading, I understand, where some of the dirt work, we call it, or the utility work, should begin later this year.
I see. Okay. So we're still 6 to 9 months away from seeing any progress over there.
Yes, and then the full-scale development, of course, waiting for some of this other substation capacity is at least a couple of years away.
Yeah. Okay, and so we've got the Circle K open at Jefferson and Varner. You have mentioned in the past that we're likely to see a small grocery store in that area. Has any progress on that?
We have had inquiries from different grocers and other retailers for all of those corners there, at least the three retail corners, and nothing's been finalized as far as I'm aware. These are private properties, so we don't always know until after a deal is done, so to speak. But we've had a lot of interest at that corner, and I think part of that is the announcement of the number of homes that Pulte is planning. The development along that corridor, you already have Talavera, as well as, of course, Sun City there, Shadow Hills, a lot of rooftops that will help drive that commercial, as well as the I-10 traffic. Tens of thousands of cars passing every day that could also pull off and benefit from those retailers. So, without giving any names or any specifics, I think there will be some announcements say over the next, I would think by the end of the year, some activity at that location.
Okay. And last time you mentioned that one developer had assembled all the land along Varner Road between Jefferson and Monroe. Have they put together any substantial plan to you yet?
They have. In fact, they will be on the upcoming Planning Commission meeting to present more of a study session. It's not an approval discussion, but basically to let the Planning Commission, as you may know, is a group of citizens that are advisory to the City Council. They will get a first crack at what they're proposing. It's a mixed use of retail, residential, mostly multifamily, and some business park uses. So it's almost 200 acres there between Monroe and as you get towards the canal, roughly Madison. And they have a good conceptual plan. Those that are interested, we'll have that up on our Planning Commission agenda on our website. It certainly could be modified, particularly if they receive input in this study session from the Planning Commission that guides them to one decision or another. But the plan is a fairly flexible, multi-use commercial residential and business park plan. And I would think they're doing their environmental work right now. I think they'll be ready to present formally by the end of the year as well. So it's something that once approved, assuming it is, they'll be able to market and see what users are available. We understand from them that there is significant interest in the commercial corner right there on Monroe and 42 right now. They just don't have their plan approved. So they can't sign any leases. They also need to build a substation to help handle all of that growth. And so they are not even partnering specifically with the city. They're going to just build, knowing that they need the full capacity of a substation. Their plan is to build one right on site.
Wow, okay. And then at 42nd, at Varner and Monroe, rather, the In-N-Out Burger and Raising Cane's are moving along. We see yes. the dirt moving there. Has mm-hmm. there been anybody else announced that's going to go into that area?
My recollection is that Sumo Dog, which is also on at the new or expanded commercial center on Jefferson and 50th. If you haven't been down that way, there's a lot going on with new restaurants down on that southwest corner of the community. But Sumo Dog is there, but also looking at a location near Raising Cane's and In-N-Out. So I believe those are the first three that have signed, and construction's underway there. There are other pads available, and spoke with that developer the other day, and he's getting significant interest in some other activity there. So we would expect, again, I would say within a handful of months that we'll hear more and more, particularly as those get further along in construction. Retailers do tend to follow their peers, and so when someone like an In-N-Out or Raising Cane's lands, others tend to follow.
I see. And so there are huge pads available where the Walmart is. Is there anything substantial that's happened there?
Yeah, we have heard of a couple of mid-sized retail boxes that have been looking, perhaps even another hotel, but none of that's been announced yet, and I don't have those details. Other than, again, speaking the other day, he was very excited about the fact that more and more are contacting him and his team as they see others filling up those pads that are out there. So I would expect. We also understand that Walmart is looking at a fuel station out in front as well. That's becoming more and more common, kind of the Costco model or some of the grocery stores where there's a fuel component, and Walmart is jumping into that.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, so I think that will continue. I know folks, I hear it often as new gas stations. We have a new one going in on Monroe and Dr. Carey on a Tower Mart. But our numbers continue to show, believe it or not, that we have significant leakage, retail leakage, not gasoline leakage, but folks purchasing their fuel outside of the community. And certainly supply will help drive down the cost some. And what we want, due to the tax implications, we want people to purchase their fuel here and all of their retail purchases in the community, because then the sales tax dollars stay in the community rather than fueling up at Costco or in Palm Desert, looking to other locations. So a new fueling station there at Walmart, assuming that does take place, would be significant tax revenue and convenience. And my guess is it would be a very cost-competitive price.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's worth mentioning, I think, the people who are buying their gas at Costco in La Quinta, you're giving your tax revenue to the city of La Quinta. You know, it can't cost that much more to, gas up at these Circle K's that are right here on the corner, and you don't have to wait. And then the tax revenue stays within the city, and it's that money that finances the improvements that we all want.
The old adage of shop local, it keeps your sales tax dollars here, helps employ people here, actually helps fuel the property tax base. It's more convenient to residents. There's just so much to gain when we shop locally.
Yeah. So let's move down to Jackson Street, Jackson and 42nd. Lots is going on. Just in case people didn't hear the previous podcast, why don't you go over all the things that are happening down in that area?
Well, you're right. In fact, I hope I don't forget something, but on the northeast corner of 42 in Jackson, presently there is an AMPM there, an AutoZone, but approved as a Dutch Brothers Coffee as well as Chick-fil-A on that site. There is another pad or two for some other probably more sit-down restaurants. So the Chick-fil-A, most popular quick serve in the country, another significant tax driver, which is important. They're going through all their plans, submitted again, have approval, and would start their groundwork, I would believe, later this summer, early fall. Also, the city municipal golf course, the Lights, is at that location, and we are rebuilding the clubhouse. There's a post office there as well as the clubhouse. We'll be setting up something temporary while we rebuild and provide, you know, a true amenity there with a nice place to eat and drink and, of course, play a round of golf even in the evening because we have lights. So that project on the northeast corner is taking place. On the southeast, the southwest corner, we have Handel's Ice Cream that has now been open for a while. It's a great place, great ice cream. Jersey Mike's is going in next to it. On that site also is fairly recently is a Pollo Loco, and now there's a hotel that's also nearing completion on that side. Across the street toward Home Depot, this would be the southeast corner of Jackson and 42, we have both Tilly's and Skechers that are planned to be built next to the Five Below. These are two very popular retailers, particularly for our younger folks. And of course, we know Texas Roadhouse has been open now for a handful of months, very popular, as well as a number of other restaurants and inline stores there in that center. So a lot of activity there. On the northwest corner, that's where Walgreens and some commercial center is there now. Probably my favorite place to eat is Unique Bites. It's right there, so I invite people to eat there. But also there will be one of our cannabis locations. The city council approved some months back 5 retail licenses. In that center will be one of the cannabis locations. So as you said, Bob, all kinds of activity right there on that corner, as well on Monroe, but at Jackson, it's a significant amount of retail activity.
Okay, well, we got a lot going on here. And so, although this is of less interest to the residents, let's go on the other side of the freeway and talk about what's going on in downtown.
Yes, the College of the Desert opened up one of their newer buildings, the Child Care Development Building. Their second high-rise building is probably 80% complete at this point. So folks will see that construction going on, as well as the new library, new City Hall. We have a temporary location for our library over on Oasis as we're building the new one here, roughly in the same location or close by to where it was previously. City Hall will also be rebuilt, and the existing building will come down. We're building a stage. We're calling it the Center Stage. It's on the corner of Smur and Miles. We'll have all kinds of our activities and concerts. It's probably 90% complete, so it's another month or so. Opening up is the Indio Town Tap House. It is open now. So also on Miles, not far from the stage, the Tap House is open. It's been very, very popular. Across the street is a Creperie Gavino's. And they're set to open here in the next couple of weeks, as well as another restaurant next to the Tap House called Italica. So these things that we've been talking about for several months are now opening up and bringing a lot of folks downtown, in addition to the different concerts that we have, including Abby Carter this Saturday. But we have our Food Truck Fridays, our Farmer's Market. The Rotary Club had the Festival of the Local Creatives art show, as you would know, Bob, downtown. But those are the type of events that we want more and more of as we bring people downtown. Another restaurant just down the way on Miles, Victoria's, is open now to some great success as people are, again, returning to downtown. It used to be the hub of things, and we're in the midst of recreating that. So we hope people will come downtown and try it out. The Tap House would be a great opportunity to start, maybe right after Abby Carter's concert, to slide over there to get a drink.
Yeah. Is there going to be student housing built down where the campus is located?
Yeah, thank you. I knew I would forget something. So there is an apartment complex that's under construction right now. That one is 30 units. Not specifically student housing, but it's right across from the College of the Desert, so very likely could help serve some of our students. Just up to the road north of that is a approximately 70-unit apartment complex. It'll have retail office on the ground floor, and then up above will be these 70 units. So, yes, housing is a part of reinvigorating, revitalizing a downtown so people can live and walk and eat and enjoy and And that's happening right now as we speak.
Good, good. So what else? We had touched before on these low and moderate income apartment projects. One is at just the other side of Highway 111 on Jefferson. And then you mentioned there were some others that were being built out by the food bank. Are they're moving ahead?
Yeah. Yes, they're, well, certainly the one on Jefferson is, they're probably at 80% complete as well. So Jefferson and Highway 111 almost feels like you're in La Quinta, but those high-rise again, nearing completion. Another was approved on Highway 111. It's somewhat east of there, kind of closer to Monroe. Also one on 44 and Golf Center Parkway. Trying to jog my memory on the other one that you mentioned, but we do get a number of these inquiries. It's becoming more and more popular, obviously, with some state and federal funding to provide these attainable, affordable housing units. The County of Riverside owns a piece of property behind their workforce center on Monroe, and they are also working with an attainable housing developer to try to help develop some units there. So, again, we know how expensive housing is, and the folks that serve us at these retail centers, at the golf courses, housekeeping, hospitality, even our teachers and some of our early entry firefighters and so forth are having a hard time finding a place to live. And these facilities that are being built are to help serve them and as they serve us.
Okay, good. You know, so two other things occur to me before I let you go, and that is one is warehousing. Why don't you talk a bit about why warehousing is good for the city and where they might be located?
Yeah, and the term, if it's just warehousing, that probably is not a winner for most communities, depending on the number of employees that are involved. But these logistics business park centers, where you do have dozens of employees, if not hundreds, within these facilities, likely pay a wage that's $3 or $4 or $5 more an hour than the golf course labor, the hospitality labor that I spoke to previously. So it will be a means of elevating wages for all those and helping it be more attainable, obviously, to purchase and rent housing. So these logistics centers have some drawbacks, but have been proven to be significant employers, particularly if they're just a few dollars above the current wage. It tends to lift the water and lift the boat for everyone, and that's the main driver. There is some significant sales tax and property tax that comes from those as well. But in my mind, the most significant are just the jobs. Mm-hmm. The Valley has a shortage of jobs, and the jobs that are available are lower wage, and it's hard for folks to get ahead. So we need a little bit of wage competition, in my opinion, and these logistics centers provide that.
I see. Okay. And then the last thing that occurs to me is is Golden Voice. The Coachella and occasionally Stagecoach are, you know, really what how the world knows of us. But uh-huh. and they certainly bring a lot of people in. Do they contribute to our economic base?
They do, in two ways. There's some significant indirect impact. So it may not be revenue directly that comes to us, but tens of millions of dollars are spent in this community and surrounding communities as these visitors come the lodging, the food, the drink, the gasoline, everything that they do to help support the businesses, including the short-term rentals from a hospitality standpoint, is significant revenue to our residents that builds wealth, that helps them, again, in turn, purchase goods and services and keeps a significant amount of that money here. Golden Voice does also pay a per-ticket value to the city. This is the direct revenue. It's providing a few million dollars a year, and while that sounds like a lot of money, it's not a huge part of our budget. Our general fund budget's well over $100 million, so let's call it less than 5% of our general fund revenue. I say that because many folks feel like it's a significant amount of the city's general fund revenue. It's not. The most significant revenue we have is the sales tax, and certainly that is fueled by these visitors. The direct revenue to the city's less than 5% of our general fund. But the rest of the impact is much, much larger. I've seen numbers of a couple hundred million as an impact of these hundreds of thousands of people that drop in and drop their money in the valley.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. That's good to know. And who knows? Maybe what's the status, by the way, of the Indio Fashion Mall?
Yeah, it is up for sale, and we understand that then the number of retailers interested, looking at different concepts there. Some would tear down some of the older buildings there that are not in pretty good shape, but would reuse some. But really don't have any more updates than that, other than that the owner is looking to sell for the property to be redeveloped.
I see. Okay, well, thank you for taking the time to update us all on what's going on in the city. There's a lot going on in the city. It's a very exciting place to live in. And thank you for taking the time to tell us about it.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
Okay, and for the audience, thank you for your attention. Until next time, bye-bye.